This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in to KER Politics, the last hour of the KE Report. Starting out with Jeff Deist right now, we're going to be talking about sources of information that help people make decisions, whether they're investment decisions or whether they are what we specialize in on the second hour here of the show, political decisions. There are places to go, and there are very definitely places not to go. I think that one site that is often overlooked, and I'm going to ask Jeff to elaborate on this, if you would, is the site for the Mises Institute. You guys put out information on a daily basis. It should be bookmarked, at least on every one of our listeners' computers. Tell us about that site.
Well, if you want to know economics, it should be one of your go-to sites. There's no question about it. Here's the thing, Al, is there's so many sources for content now. Obviously, you have the mainstream media outlets, but you just have almost an infinite supply of news and opinion sources, especially when you include in that mix social media. The problem is that you've got limited time and attention and interest to go through all this stuff. So the difference between today, 2018, and let's say even 5-10 years ago was that you can curate what you read and what you put it, you know, into your brain through your eyeballs a lot more than you could previously. So, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, the Drudge Report, mm-hmm. for instance, which I still look at most days, was my absolute number one go-to website. And it really had the most recent breaking news. So 15 years ago, or 20 years ago during the Clinton-Monica thing, the Drudge Report was absolutely scooping the mainstream media. Now I find that because I've sort of curated my own streams on social media, Twitter and Facebook accounts, I tend to find out about things via social media before they show up on Drudge. So the pace of things is accelerating. So I think the challenge for us, if we want to be well-informed people, we want to improve our thinking and our knowledge, the challenge is to say, well, let's go to the best sources and sites that have the most substantive content. Let's spend as little time as possible on garbage or low-rent content sources, and let's take on the responsibility of sifting through all this information, all this white noise, and making something of it, because we have a ton of information. We have almost unlimited information at our fingertips in terms of a smartphone or mobile device.
You know,
what we don't have is a lot of editorialism, a lot of editorial function, and a lot of wisdom.
I thought the comment you made about the Drudge Report was really interesting, in particular because I was all over that earlier in the week when they came out with the history of how they covered Lewinsky, how Lewinsky is being covered today, et cetera, et cetera. I thought it was interesting given the fact that Newsweek was rather jumped on heavily by the feds a couple of days after that particular information came out on Drudge. I think it was one of the most important articles dealing with journalism that I've read in a long time. I also found it interesting that approximately 3 hours after I read it, and I read it about 9 o'clock in the morning, about noon my time, Pacific Standard Time, there was no mention of that article. It was totally taken off the Drudge page. I'm not sure why. I think the implications of what I just said are rather frightening, though.
Well, you can't trust media outlets. You have to trust your own judgment. And we have to remember that some blogger or social media person, you know, you say, oh, that's just some guy sitting at home. Well, okay, but a mainstream media reporter at this point is just some guy sitting at a keyboard, maybe in an office. They aren't doing a lot of real reporting and real journalism, wearing out shoe leather like an old hard-bitten reporter did 30 years ago. So the thing is the idea that the media is somehow sacrosanct in this country, as opposed to some self-interested blogger in his basement, is really false. When the First Amendment was created, there were in colonial times there were pamphleteers and muckrakers and all kinds of unsavory people. Mm-hmm. So the freedom of the press was never intended to be some sort of institutional press that stands apart from just some guy with back then, printing out a pamphlet. Today, some guy blogging or issuing social media posts. It means all of us. It means the ability of all of us to print and speak. And so we have to get over the idea that the media has some noble role. The media is there for clicks and eyeballs. The more clicks and eyeballs they get, and the longer those eyeballs stay at the site, the more advertising revenue they get. CNN is just a money-making business the same way Facebook is, the same way General Motors is, the same way Google is. We have to stop imagining that they're somehow, serving us and acting as an impartial arbiter of the news or an impartial source about what government does.
Jeff, what I don't understand is you're saying social media is a good place to get information because of the immediacy of most of the postings. I'm not sure I would agree with that. Why do you say that?
Well, it's a good place to hear about things early. You do. It's the wild, wild west out there, and you do have to exercise your own judgment. I'll just give an example. Over the last year or so, I can recall hearing about terrorist incidents on social media many, many hours before they were covered on the news. Does that really benefit me as a person? I don't know. I get your point. But, that's one example. But a better example is when you see something on social media that never makes it into the mainstream news. You have to decide whether it's true or false, whether it's worthwhile or a waste of time. But I want to know. I want to hear about things. For instance, sometimes social media people will write an article that appears on a self-publishing site like Medium. And this story now about a week ago about this young woman who went out on a date with the comedian and had a very bad experience, that was on a very small site originally. And I think social media is what turned that into a national story. That's good if you want to know that story. It's bad if you think that was irresponsible muckraking about what ought to have been a private encounter between these two. So it depends on your perspective, but I would rather let people be their own editors because I don't trust our appointed editors in the mainstream media.
Jeff, I got about 2 minutes left here. Tell me real quick where the Mises Institute and your website and your colleague Lou's website, Lou Rockwell's website, how are they different?
Well, Mises.org is the official organ of the Mises Institute, so it's focused primarily on econ. Economic topics. We don't provide, libertarian analysis or perspective on all of the news of the day. LouRockwell.com is Lou's personal site. He runs a lot more revisionist history, counter analysis, opposing viewpoints to the mainstream media, that sort of thing. So they're really two very different things. But we pride ourselves at Mises.org. About providing some substance, about not just having breezy clickbait kind of material.
And it's that's pretty refreshing in my mind. That's one of the reasons that we post as much of your stuff as we do. We also post virtually everything that that Daniel McAdams puts out in terms of Ron's Institute. I find that to be very up-to-date information that, finally reaches the mainstream media long, long after it's happened. For example, they cover Tillerson's speech at Stanford University. I know the media covered it, but not nearly as in-depth as Daniel did in his editorial on the real significance of what Tillerson had to say. Having said that, it is important to get unbiased information. If you don't have unbiased information, you have virtually no information. The Mises Institute, Mises.org, is, in my opinion, probably one of the best places to go. We'll be posting their information from now on almost on a daily basis as it comes up. Mr. Deist, have a great weekend. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, Big Al.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Taking a little bit of a different turn right now in KER Politics. I've got my friend Jeff Pontius on the line with us right now. Jeff is the chairman CEO of a company called Corvus Gold. We're not going to talk about Corvus Gold. Let me just say in all fairness, in all full disclosure, I'm a shareholder in Corvus Gold. I've known the company for probably oh God, it's probably been about 5 years right now. Jeff is a personal friend, and this is about getting Jeff's opinion. And let me tell you why I asked Jeff to weigh in on this question. Jeff is pretty much, and has been for the last 6 years or so, my go-to individual when it comes to getting industry, mining industry perspectives on what's going on in right now in the world, how geopolitical events are affecting the gold market, etc., etc. Jeff, here's my question. I would have thought that, interestingly enough, with all of the turmoil that's going on in the United States right now, all of the things talking about fake news and the rest of it, all of the turmoil that's going on in the Middle East right now, I mean, Syria's about ready to blow up. We have Turkey announcing that they're going to go into Syria full bore here any time now. With all of this, I would have to say, trepidation around the world, all of these unknowns that are going on, unknowns that quite frankly could eventually turn into very, very serious events for all of us. Gold is very strong right now. Gold is climbed up to $1,340 an ounce. It's backed off just a little bit. I don't understand why it's backing off, because being a student of the gold market for probably 40 years, geopolitically there has never been a more opportune time, and I use the word opportune time just because I think geopolitically the world is going to go to hell in a handbasket sooner rather than later. Why isn't the gold market taking off right now, Jeff?
Well, Al, I think really my perspective on gold is gold really moves on fundamentals. And yes, geopolitical tension does create a more favorable short-term market for gold. But in reality, gold is really driven by the base economics. And we saw the last boom when gold hit almost $2,000 an ounce. That was driven by a very impressive overall global economic expansion that was going on. And I think the same thing is going to happen in the future, and gold is going to get the same benefit out of it, and it will continue to move in those ways. Should we have increased international tensions, we could see gold spike. But fundamentally, to move the gold market, we've got to have a strong global economy. And what we saw over just the last quarter is that we saw more buying come from India, who are a big gold purchasers globally. They've been able to buy a lot more gold than they have in the past, and that's been fundamentally moving gold from that $1,200 level into the $1,300 level now. So I think, you know, what we really need to see is overall good, solid global economic expansion. I think we're seeing that. The market's certainly telling us that, the broader market. And so I think gold will benefit through time on that. And to be honest, for gold groups like ours, it's far better having a more stable uptrending gold price that's more, I would say, under control, as mm-hmm. opposed to really erratic spikes in the price that really breed kind of uncertainty in the investor's mind. Because as you see with Bitcoin, I mean, an erratic product is not really that favorable to a lot of people. So I think the long-term look for gold is very solid.
Well, I have to say it probably is. You know, it's interesting. In the early stage of my career, when I first started following gold closely back in the early 1980s, I was under the impression, I mean, we were in a huge bull market in the very early 80s, late 70s in gold. I was under the impression that gold investors really weren't very, what I would call, sophisticated fundamentalists. They were basically going with the trend. But I'm finding out today that they really are very sophisticated. And when you have, on the one hand, a situation in the United States right now that I would maintain is just seeping over with enthusiasm, optimism. I mean, you look at what's going on right now with the conventional market as measured by, for example, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I mean, record upon record upon record. We got news earlier this week about housing starts that were very, very positive. We got news about the unemployment. Now, unemployment numbers are something we could talk about forever because I don't put a lot of credence in the official government numbers. There are too many things to consider. But the fact of the matter is, the average American right now may or may not like Donald Trump. But the fact of the matter is, the average American really likes what's happening fundamentally in the United States right now. And I would have to say that if this growth continues over into, let's say, the Far East, that is really not in bad shape at all right now. China's in great shape. Japan's in pretty good shape for the rest of it. Short of a catastrophic event like Kim Jong-un, for example, firing off a missile or whatever, but I don't think he will. He's not that stupid. I agree with you. I think we're seeing a good, solid pattern of growth in the market right now, and I applaud the new sophisticated gold investor who takes all things into consideration when he decides to buy or sell gold, or silver for that matter.
Yeah, I totally agree, Al. And when we start looking at gold projects, I really think that solid $1,300-$1,400 gold is going to be a great foundation for some really good projects that are sitting out there and are ready to go into production and add substantial value to the producer side. So I think we're in a good environment here for gold equities. We're in a good environment for gold itself. And I look very favorably at the future here of what's going to be a very strong industry globally going forward.
Well, I guess the thing that people have to remember when they consider what you and I are talking about right now is, you know, gold is nothing more than a commodity. You know, it's, if you really want to get esoteric about it, you can talk about how gold is a barometer of things to come. Gold is a barometer. The gold price is a barometer, a very accurate barometer of what's happened in the past. But the fact of the matter is, gold, as it relates to, let's say, your company, Corvus Gold, is really a commodity. And it's all dependent, the success of your company has been dependent on one simple thing, not necessarily the price of gold, but on the potential income statement of the company at the price of gold. Just elaborate on that real quick. We're down to about a minute, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think when you look at things like that, you have good assets like we have in Nevada that are in strong jurisdictions, easy to develop, that produce great margins on them. Those are exactly the kind of assets that will go forward and go into production and add substantial value to the producer side. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Al. This is the quality of the asset is really important. And so we want to have those high-quality assets that can succeed in any environment.
Fundamentals always win out in the end, and that's what I'd like you folks to take away from this. Don't bet in on any commodity based on your heart, based on hard fundamentals. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Find out more about today's guests. Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi folks, Ronnie here from Life Change Tea. There's a lot of hubbub about the ramifications of GMOs. First of all, what are GMOs? Genetically modified organisms. Yee! Man-made organisms entering our body, changing and damaging us from the inside out. What's our defense? First of all, not eating them. Second, cleansing from them when we do eat them. Thank God for Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea cleanses from toxins, heavy metals, and helps flush GMOs out of your body. Our unique blend of herbs help cleanse you from the inside out, helping you feel refreshed and clean of yee. We also carry unique, one-of-a-kind supplements. So order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Rid yourself of the yee that contaminates your food and water. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get the tea. Your best defense.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Segment 7. You know, it was really interesting talking with Jeff Ponius. It's interesting chatting with somebody who is part and parcel, I guess I should say, of the resource industry and getting their views on what's going on from an economic standpoint in the precious metals market right now. But back to politics 100%. I'm chatting right now with a new guest. His name is Professor Steve Nemirovsky. Steve was a 30-year veteran working in politics. He's an author of Third Party, which is a series of novels about how to solve the political dysfunction crisis in America. Formerly a professor at Columbia University, and is currently teaching a political course at UCLA. Steve, I got to tell you, we're going to get along really well because we both agree that politics in the United States right now is totally non-functional. All of our listeners are going to be looking to run you down because they agree 100%. I'm curious, just kind of starting out here, how dysfunctional do you feel the politics is in our country right now? And we're talking, of course, pretty much on the federal level.
It's as dysfunctional as it's ever been. It gets worse every day. And Al, as you and I are talking right now, in another room, I got a television set where they're trying to figure out if they're going to shut down the government.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, it's totally fabricated. This is a made-up disaster waiting to happen, and both sides relish in this disaster. And we've been going through this debt crisis disaster off and on for the last dozen years. Again, it's totally manufactured. and it's the epitome of dysfunction in government.
Steve, I got to ask you, when you talk about totally manufactured, I mean, numbers are numbers, income statements are income statements, balance sheets are balance sheets. The U.S. government is, for all practical purposes, broke. I think you'd have to agree with that.
I think $20 trillion plus dollars qualifies as being broke. Yes.
I do, too. I do, too. And this is manufactured, in my opinion, not for any other reason other than total, total irresponsibility on the part of our leaders. Any comments?
Well, the thing that's interesting about the debt vote, and I didn't know this until just recently, is when the federal government passes their budget, all they do is really pass a spending plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the debt vote they put in years ago, I don't know the whole history of it, so every once in a while they say, how much in the hole are we, and should we actually look at it right now and think of fixing something? So they force this vote to occur periodically. The reality is when the vote comes up, they actually never fix anything. They never say, as you said, we're $20 trillion in the hole, how do we stop that? The conversation becomes, whichever party is in power, how do we keep the government running, because we have to take the vote. And who's ever out of power basically says, how are we going to mess with these guys? And how are we going to throw some issue at them that they don't want to have in front of them right now, just so we can make them look bad politically? So what should have been an intellectual exercise in, is our budget too much and should we fix it, has become just an intellectual exercise in who can embarrass who and who can assign blame at a time when it's irrelevant.
You know, I want to tell you an interesting story just for what it's worth, and that is, and then I'm going to get on to your real area of expertise, but I have a friend, his name is Brian Baird. Brian was a congressman from Washington State. His district was Southwest Washington. I got to know Brian relatively well when he was in D.C., and he was a shoe-in for a lifelong position in that particular office. Everybody loved him. He was effective, etc., etc. He got up one day and he said, this is really stupid. I am done. And I was asking him in retrospect, I said, why did you simply quit like that, Brian? And he said, purely and simply, Al, because I'm here to tell you, Washington is dysfunctional, and if you really want to get something done, it ain't going to happen back in Washington, D.C.
No, it's not. Which your premise there, which is what I write about a lot, is we have a system of what I call incumbency protection, where 90%+ of these people are going to keep their job no matter how bad they're at their job. How many other professions can you be as bad as these people are and still keep your job?
I can't think of any. You know, having been self-employed my entire life, all I can say is if I didn't produce, my family didn't eat. That's not the case with politicians.
No, and the system is, I don't know, rigged is kind of a harsh word, but again, I write about the fact that between campaign finance reform, redistricting, voting rights limitations, ballot access limitations, these people have created an environment where they are almost guaranteed, as you said with this other gentleman, almost guaranteed to get reelected. And the question becomes, how do you stop that? How do you stop that cycle of incumbency protection, and how do you keep them from getting reelected? Or, conversely, how do you just make them do their jobs? Because if they would do their jobs, people wouldn't care if they kept getting reelected.
Professor, I just have to ask you one question, and it's a $1 million question. How do you accomplish that? I've been in this game for a long time, and I have never seen anyone, the closest person who I have seen come to perhaps accomplishing what you're talking about, is the president that everybody loves to hate, Donald Trump. I think Trump is really a rogue, a renegade, for lack of better terms. I think he is outside the box. The question is he going to stay outside the box? Is the deep state, and I don't necessarily use that term in a pejorative sense, are they going to allow him to do that? I don't think so.
Well, a lot of people ask that question. They say, is Trump a third party? He's certainly an independent force, and then to a certain extent, he's like a third party. But as a businessman, I think he looked there and he said, am I going to create a party and probably not win, or am I just going to hijack a party? And he went that route, and he essentially hijacked the Republican Party, became their nominee, and he's now being Trump the president. But he's definitely not an establishment Republican, and he's fairly independent in his approach to government.
I think he's very independent in his approach to government, and I applaud the guy, aside from one thing, as you and I were chatting off mic, and that is, I think as a communicator, he's absolutely terrible. And I would have to say, in that particular office, you have to be a very effective communicator. I want to get into more politics here in our next segment, some specific politics, but let's talk a little bit about your books, Third Party, the series of novels. Tell us about those, will you?
Well, yeah, my theory is, how are you going to disrupt the cycle of incumbency protection? How are you going to get to a place where these people just don't depend on keeping their jobs, make them do their jobs? And there's a lot of good work being done out there in many arenas, but to me, the way you make them do their jobs is you have to let them think they could lose their jobs. And the way that can happen is you have to have a third party. Now, people said you can't have a third party, and I don't think a third party can happen overnight. But what my books do is they create a roadmap. In other words, if you actually wanted to have a third party and you wanted to get there, what would that roadmap look like? And I have certain basics that I bring people back to. One of which is, I think you have to start as local of a level as possible. When the Tea Party was jumping in, they went right to the congressional level.
Right.
And they deliberately decided, again, we're going to stay within the confines of the Republican Party. Part of what I write about is, if you want to start a third party and build on something, you don't start at the highest level, you start at a local level or perhaps the state level. And the simple notion here, and other people have been writing about this lately, is if you have government, and let's say there's 100 seats in the legislature, you might only have, your third party might only have to capture 5 seats. But by doing so, if they keep the Republicans and the Democrats, either party, from having a majority, they, by definition, have control with those 5 seats. And that's the theory. Start local and get enough seats so that you can keep either party from having a majority. And once you've done that, you now control the dialogue.
Professor, in less than a minute, we're going to have to take a commercial break here, so I just have to ask you a question that really doesn't need a lot of elaboration, but that is, what are the chances of success for a third party in allowing that to happen, in your opinion?
Well, I think they're really good, probably over the next 10 years. And I would like to suggest to you, if the Tea Party would have gone that route a few years ago, they might have gotten there. And I actually think the progressive side of the Democratic Party is capable of breaking out. And I actually don't care if the third party starts in the middle or on one of the fringes. They will then force everything to the center.
Well, I have to tell you, the idea of a third party, I think, is the solution, and for all the reasons you gave, so that neither one of the major parties initially really has a majority position. Having said that, going to be right back with Professor Stephen Nemirovsky, going to talk a little bit about specific political issues. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan." And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Back continuing my discussion right now with Professor Steve Nemirovsky. Steve is a real third-party advocate, as I know most of our listeners are. A third party certainly would even the playing field and probably increase the efficiency, for lack of better terms, of government, certainly on the federal level. A general question that I would have for you, Steve, is why don't you think the libertarians have really become effective as a third party?
And I've been studying the libertarians a bit through the years, and I've read some of their materials, and I think they're not an effective third party because I actually don't think they are a political party. I think the libertarians are a philosophy.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to be a political party, you've got to be prepared for some really rough and tough rumble type stuff. This is, politics is, it's not for the faint of heart. It's a tough sport. And I don't think the libertarians have gotten to the place where they can mix it up and get into this rumble and succeed. Another thing that they think they fail at is, again, they always are trying to obtain these lofty, you know, offices.
Mm-hmm.
They ran a campaign for president last time around.
Yeah.
My theory is you don't run for president. You get two or three libertarians elected on a school board, get them elected here and there, and then you build on top of that. That's attainable from my perspective. If you focused on winnable races in winnable jurisdictions, and then you took your resources and you focused them there,
yep,
you can win elections. During the presidential campaign, they actually raised some money this time around. But they took all that money and dumped it into a losing presidential race. What if they would have taken $5 million of that and gone to, you know, state X and said, "We're going to put $5 million into five state representative races and get the kind of media you need, the kind of advertising you need, the kind of messaging you need, hire some true political professionals, and we're going to go to try and win those five seats, the same five seats I talked about in the last segment."
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would spend $5 million, if, from my perspective, and that's how you would start building a Libertarian Party. You just don't have this philosophy that I'm talking about and say, well, we'll just run someone for president, because you're not even going to win.
Yeah, that's true.
And last year, I thought they kind of embarrassed themselves, because when they had a moment in time when they had a chance to really grab people's attention, they couldn't figure out how to grab attention. And then next thing you know, they were gone.
I think it's a really good point. You know, the one comment I would make that I think is important to reiterate here real quick, but I know a lot of libertarians, and, you know, obviously Jeff Dice, Lou Rockwell, et cetera, Ron Paul, Daniel McAdams, these guys are all gentlemen. They're not street fighters like Hillary Clinton, for example, or for that matter, like Donald Trump, who I think Donald Trump can be very accurately classified simply as a Jersey brawler, for lack of better terms. I would have to say, Steve, that I feel strongly that you're on the right track. The question is, a third party would have to raise so much money to be able to compete with, you know, with the members of the either side of the aisle. I mean, we're talking about campaign finance now has gotten to the point where it's in the billions of dollars, which quite frankly kind of pisses me off. You know, we got people sleeping under bridges, we've got kids starving to death, and these damn politicians are spending upwards of $1 billion to get elected. That's just crazy.
It's beyond crazy. And again, I said campaign finance system is what protects incumbency production. But you've got a lot of people out there right now, and if you look at them, the 1% of the 1%ers, and some of these people are figuring ways to go out of pocket to spend $50, $100 million at a crack in an election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What if they took a step back and said, again, what if I just only put $5 million into a state X? Let me pick on Illinois, because I come from there. It's dysfunctional as any state there is. What if I tried to help elect these five representatives? That's about the most efficient use of this political money that they could get. And if they really, truly wanted to help fix the system, they could get there. And I haven't said that. I agree with you about the money. But in this age we're in right now, where you've got, you know, between Twitter and the Internet and all these places where you can message
mm-hmm.
people without needing a lot of money, and again, if you keep it local, I think there's enough elements there for messaging that you can run campaigns and still be hard-hitting, but not have to have this, you know, multi-million dollars.
You know, the last campaign was really interesting in the sense that former Secretary Clinton clearly outspent to a very large degree Trump, as I understand it. Trump also pretty much financed his own campaign, as I understand, although being a card-carrying member of the Republican Party, you know, I can't tell you how many fundraising calls I get almost on a daily basis from ARA code 202. Anyway, having said that, I want to talk a little bit about the efficiency of some of our politicians right now, if you wouldn't mind on that one. And I'm really curious, how do you feel that Trump is doing a passable or good job as a president of the United States?
Well, that's not a question we can answer in the next 2 or 3 minutes, but let me say this. When you're talking about Trump as a communicator,
yeah.
I find his language and his style of communicating, occasionally, if not almost all the time, becoming, you know, beyond offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I think Trump is unvarnished, and I think the Trump you see is the real Trump. We don't have that with many politicians.
No.
So there's a certain authenticity to his not being a politician. The Trump you see is the Trump you get. I've been, as a lobbyist, I've been with many politicians who have a yep. public face and they have a private face.
Right.
So I think Trump has become an effective communicator to the sense that when you hear him, you know what you're getting. So I'm not trying to defend it, but I think you know what you're getting. In terms of if he's been an effective president, you know, he did get elected as a Republican. As I said, I think he hijacked the Republican Party.
Yeah.
He has been delivering on a share of his promises. He promised conservatives on the court.
Yes, he did.
As far as I tell, he delivered on that. He promised tax reform, and they got their tax reform deal done. I think if you went through and saw what Trump said he wanted to do as president, particularly in a dysfunctional system, he is delivering a lot of what he promised. And I think people, depending on when they start going to the elections, will look past some of the rhetoric in that regard and say, well, he promised this and he delivered this. And they'll say, I don't get that with any other politician. So that's the trade-off they make. you may lose them on the style points, but if he actually delivers on what he promised to deliver on, that could be a winning message.
I think it's a really good point. The one comment I want to get your opinion on right now, the comment that I have about politics in the U.S. right now, is if you look at the Progressive Party, is attempting, in a very broad sense, to tug at the heartstrings, for lack of better terms, of the American public. I mean, clearly they're rationalizing, you know, breaking the law in many instances. They're rationalizing, welfare beyond anybody's imagination, etc. And they're basically implying very effectively that the other side, the non-progressives, are bad people because they don't care about human beings. That's a very effective ploy, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, it gets to what I was talking about before. If you can't deliver philosophically and you can't deliver results, what has happened in our political system is you then have to play the blame game.
Right.
And we're in a scenario where neither party has been overly effective. We had this dysfunctional government that you talked about before. And the only thing they're selling right now is blame. And the progressives who, you know, no matter where they're going with their message, they have decided that playing the blame game is what's going to keep their attention factor out there. That they may not be able to sell their philosophy or what is they're pushing, but they can sell blame. And in American politics right now, if you can sell that blame and you can lay more blame off on the other guy, you end up winning the election.
I find it interesting that it definitely didn't win the presidential election this past in 2016. I think a lot of America is fed up with it, because I think a lot of America, myself included, really makes it a point to help people help themselves and to contribute to causes that are really worthwhile, where capital is actually needed. That, in my opinion, is the only thing that will allow America to continue to be great. The guys in the street like Big Al and yourself and other people have to put their money where their mouth is, and when I say that, what I mean is they have to really care and really take the onus off the hands of the government, and they have to say, you know what, we're going to do this, we're going to help these people ourselves. That's where I think the progressives are really letting down. Professor Steve Naprosky, always been a pleasure chatting with you. I'm going to get you on again in the near future.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.